SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Cammeraygal people and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to, from the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water.
Good afternoon, Yama, and good afternoon to everyone listening on today on NITV Radio. Today is Friday the 31st of January, and I'm broadcasting live to you from Cammeraygal Country in Sydney, on this cloudy yet humid day down here. Coming up on today's show, we have some pretty deadly things for you fellas. Our executive producer, Lonnie Grant, back with the bang. She interviews the music man-to-be, Joy Casadaley. And we hear about a Chinese Aboriginal man as he gets ready to celebrate the Lunar New Year with both his cultures. But first, the latest in news and weather.
Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy erected outside Parliament.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
In this bulletin, hope fades for survivors of a US plane crash. The Prime Minister's strong words for people arrested in anti-Semitism investigation. And in sport, Australia in a dominant position after the first day of the Women's Ashes test. All 64 people aboard an American Airlines jet that collided with an Army helicopter are feared dead in what was likely to be the worst US aviation disaster in almost a quarter century. At least 28 bodies so far have been recovered from the icy waters of the Potomac River next to Ronald Reagan National Airport near Washington in the wake of the collision. But officials say the plane carried 60 passengers and 4 crew, while there were 3 soldiers aboard the helicopter. Washington Fire Chief John Donnelly says they're not expecting to find any of them alive.
Despite all those efforts, we are now at a point where we are switching from a rescue operation to a recovery operation. At this point, we don't believe there are any survivors from this accident.
Donald Trump has suggested that diversity and inclusion policies have been a contributing factor to a crash that's feared to have killed everyone on board an American Airlines jet and U.S. Army helicopter near Washington. The US president has blamed diversity efforts by former Democratic administrations for contributing to the crash, using an expletive to specifically criticize Pete Buttigieg, who was transportation secretary for former President Joe Biden.
He's just got a good line of bullshit. The Department of Transportation, his government agency charged with regulating civil aviation. Well, he runs it, 45,000 people, and he's run it right into the ground with his diversity.
The cause of the air crash is not yet clear, and there is no evidence that efforts to make the federal workforce more diverse have compromised air safety. Safety experts, disability rights advocates, and members of Congress have immediately denounced the Republican president's comments, including Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Listen, it's one thing for internet pundits to spew off conspiracy theories. It's another for the President of the United States to throw out idle speculation as bodies are still being recovered and families still being notified. It just turns your stomach.
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has called people who allegedly engaged with the caravan with explosives in Dural as cowards. Mr. Albanese's comment comes after it was revealed that over 1 week ago, New South Wales police discovered explosives on a caravan in the rural South Sydney suburb of Dural, along with anti-Semitic sentiments. Tammy Faruga and Scott Marshall were allegedly named in a search warrant used to investigate the incident. Both of them have already been in custody over the other charges. Neither have been charged in relation to the incident in Dural. Mr. Albanese says there's zero tolerance in Australia for hatred and anti-Semitism.
And I want any perpetrators to be hunted down and locked up. It's as simple as that. They have no place in this sort of engagement. It's designed to create fear and terror in the community, and it will not succeed. Because our community is stronger than the cowards who engage in this sort of activity.
Former Liberal Treasurer and prominent member Josh Frydenberg also says the escalating attacks on Jewish community has been out of control. Speaking to the ABC, Mr. Frydenberg says the incident has scared the Jewish community.
The discovery of the caravan is just the latest of a long list of violent anti-Semitic incidents and attacks that don't just leave the Jewish community less safe, have actually threatened the safety and the security of our country as a whole.
Australian Secretary Intelligence Organisation, Australian Federal Police and New South Wales Police have formed a joint counter-terrorism team for the investigation. The opposition leader, Peter Dutton, has accused the Prime Minister of neglecting Indigenous Australians after the failed Voice referendum. Mr. Dutton has spent the last 2 days campaigning in Alice Springs, visiting local businesses alongside his party's candidate for the local seat in upcoming federal election. The coalition has also committed to a list of 7 requests the NT government made last year to reduce crime in Alice Springs. Mr. Dutton says Anthony Albanese needs to follow his example.
I don't understand why the Prime Minister hasn't been able to spend more time in Alice Springs. I think this is one of the most acute issues that our Prime Minister should be dealing with. And unfortunately, the Prime Minister, after The Voice, essentially abandoned the cause of Indigenous Australians.
Australians being urged not to mix drinking with a trip to the ocean. On the back of data that shows a quarter of people who have drowned across the country had elevated blood alcohol levels. Swimming Australia are launching a new campaign with identifiers from the TV program Bondi Rescue to promote safety messages that will emphasise the risk of swimming while under the influence. Bondi Rescue lifeguard Anthony Harris Carroll says people need to learn how to be safe and responsible around the water.
We are so lucky in this beautiful land that our coastlines just offer such a beautiful water place and everyone wants to jump in. What I find quite difficult for me is so many people want to drink and dive. That is so dangerous. All the people that I have rescued in my lifetime, that would equate to probably 2,000 people that have been intoxicated.
Hundreds of protesters have staged a sit-in outside the Royal Courts of Justice in London, blocking traffic in a demonstration against the jailing of 16 environmental activists. The group of activists were in prison for stopping traffic, blocking an oil facility, and splashing a Van Gogh painting with soup. But the Just Stop Oil protesters say they received an unduly harsh prison terms of between 15 months and 5 years. The government says new protest laws are aimed at preventing extremists from hurting the economy and disrupting daily life. But 88-year-old protester Claudia Cotton says the sentences of 16 should not be allowed to stand.
I'm really appalled that people are being sent to prison just for protesting, and I'm just appalled at the way British government seems not to be bothered about this kind of insidious journey toward what seems very dictatorial kind of attitude.
Fierce fighting continues in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo city of Goma as rebels and the army exchange fire. The M23 rebels say they are in control of the city, but the Congolese authorities dispute this. In a statement posted on X, government spokesperson Patrick Meyeya told residents to stay at home and refrain from carrying out vandalism and looting. The UN says the turn of events has caused mass panic among Goma's 2 million residents. Bruno Lamarki is a senior UN aide and official in the DRC's capital, Kinshasa.
active zones of combat have spread to all quarters of the city, all the neighborhoods of the city. Civilians are taking the brunt of the escalating hostilities. This morning, heavy artillery fire was directed at the city center. For example, several shells struck the Charité Maternity Hospital in central Goma, killing and injuring civilians, including newborn and pregnant women.
Rwanda denies supporting the militia, but has acknowledged it has stationed troops and missile systems in the eastern Congo. Ongoing fighting in the conflict has killed millions over the past 3 decades, and more than 7 million people remain displaced across the country. A third round of exchanges of Israeli hostages for Palestinian prisoners under the Gaza ceasefire has taken place, despite a short delay over safety concerns. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Defence Minister Israel Katz had initially ordered a pause in the releases, in anger over swarming crowds at one of the hostage handover points. Now, 110 Palestinian prisoners have been released in exchange for the 3 Israeli hostages held in Gaza, while 5 Thai workers held captive in the enclave have also been freed in a separate deal with Thailand. Tel Aviv Soroski Medical Center official Gil Fire says Gadi Moses, the oldest of the returned hostages so far at the age of 80, is doing well.
After initial evaluation, I'm happy to say that his condition is quite good and stable. It allows him to spend the first hours here with his family in a private environment. They can talk, they can be together, they can rest a little from this very exciting and not easy day.
And now to sport, and in cricket news, Australia is in a dominant position after the first day of the Women's Ashes Test against England at the MCG. After bowling England out for 170, Australia is now just 114 runs behind England, with 9 wickets remaining. Victorian-born leg spinner Alana King helped to achieve that result, putting on a masterclass as she took a career best of 4-45. She says she is delighted with her 4-wicket haul.
Pretty cool. Loved playing at the MCG and played a few games here. And yeah, it's home for me, and loved playing Test cricket, and to bowl a whole session was pretty cool. Can't get much better than that.
I am driving near the river in West End, and I feel like a hug from an old friend. I pull over, I nearly crashed my car when I saw him with his arms around her. If it happened to me, it'll happen to her. It doesn't make it better that I went first. We don't talk about it, we don't talk about it. If it happened to me, it'll happen to her. What the girls went through, yeah, they didn't deserve it. We don't talk about it, we don't talk about it, no. Did he take you to meet all of his friends, or gaslight you, make jokes at your expense? Does he whimper and cry when you have sex, then right after talk about his ex? I wanna warn you, but I'm scared you won't think it's true. If it happened to me, it'll happen to her. It doesn't make it better that I went first. We don't talk about it, we don't talk about it. If it happened to me, it'll happen to her. What the girls went through, yeah, they didn't deserve it. We don't talk about it, we don't talk about it.
Good afternoon, NITV listeners. I hope you're having a deadly day today because it's time for the weekend and I'm ready to sit back and relax. And I think I'm due for a beach day, to be honest, so I think that's what I'll do. And you too should take a breather and relax. And if you can leave your jargons at home, well, now that sounds like a perfect weekend. Still to come, we hear from Troy Cassidaly straight from the Tamworth Country Music Festival last week. But first, we hear from Jason Wing and Madison Gibbs. Jason has both an Aboriginal and Chinese ancestry and had done up a pretty cracking mural called In Between Two Worlds, which you should check out online if you get a chance. Now, let's learn more about it. Lunar New Year festivities will officially begin this week, marking the year of the wood snake. One of the most important cultural celebrations for many East and Southeast Asian communities, and it's observed by more than a quarter of the world's population. For artist Jason Wing, with both Chinese and Aboriginal ancestry, it's a time for reflection, his work offering exploration and celebration of culture. Painted along an alleyway in Sydney's Chinatown district, Jason Wing's mural, In Between Two Worlds, is a dynamic expression of bicultural identity, weaving together elements of his Chinese and Aboriginal heritage.
I'm a descendant of the Biripi mob. On my father's side, I have Cantonese heritage from Guangdong province, mainland China, just off Hong Kong. I like to refer to myself as I'm 100% Chinese, 100% Aboriginal, 100% Australian. That's how I like to think of my cultures, and I always see with those three lenses.
This influence of culture also present in his art practice.
We reference traditional cave painting techniques like the chewing of ochre and splatter. The Chinese paper cuts actually just act as a stencil, and the ochre splatter creates the image.
As the lunar calendar moves from the year of the dragon to the year of the snake, his latest mural has been created alongside his partner, Gunupikinji artist Madison Gibbs. It's a symbolic embrace of Aboriginal and Chinese culture, the serpent sacred in both.
Dragon is the symbol for the emperor, the most fierce, strongest, most powerful, spiritual, creative animal, which we believe existed in a different form. The serpent for me represents strength, adaptation, overcoming all obstacles and boundaries with limitations. The rainbow serpent create our land, sea, it's a fertility, it's a female energy, it created everything.
This is multidisciplinary artist Madison Gibbs.
I felt proud the whole time painting it because there were so many different people from different communities coming up to us and saying, I understand this story, I see it.
The power of sparking conversations through public art, another driver behind the duo's creative process.
253 years of colonisation is too much and has been at the detriment of everybody in this country. I think truth-telling and reclaiming space is the only way to start fresh and to move forward.
I only really want them to ask the question, like, why is that imagery or why those colours or why that combination, to spark these conversations. And that for me is enough. A visual Aboriginal presence and a visual Chinese presence together is enough, because there's an extreme lack of, well, any cultural presence in Australia, specifically Aboriginal. And so murals are a great antidote to that, reclaiming that visual space that, you know, everything from us was taken. So this is one way to sort of say, you know, we're still here, we're still fighting.
The year of the wood snake is said to bring in a year of growth and prosperity. And for Wing, this next celestial shift is especially significant.
I'm a fire snake in Chinese zodiac. I celebrate Lunar New Year every year. It's always been a big part of our family. Dragon dances, the firecrackers. There's nothing better than seeing your culture celebrated.
This story was by Jennifer Scherer for SBS News, produced by Dante Brex for SBS NITV Radio.
A dive, hit and missed on Friday night, fleetingly, fleetingly, introduction from a friend. Help me get to you in the end, fleetingly, fleetingly. Little dance, a little song, hazy direction, we're moving on. Out of town, I took a chance, cooking up a little romance.
Thanks for tuning in to NITV Radio. We just heard the song Fleetingly by Stiff Gins. Coming up now, NITV executive producer Luana Grant had the chance to sit down with platinum-selling Gombangi and Bundjalung country music songwriter and entertainer Troy Casadale. After 13 studio albums, 2 live albums, and 5 compilation albums over 30 years, Troy is still entertaining mob everywhere with his music. And having recently played at the Australian country music capital, Tamworth, he gave us all the ins about what's been going on. Check it out right here on NITV Radio.
Welcome to NITV, Troy, and I'm really excited to be yarning with you today, and thanks for your time as well.
Oh, no, thank you, Luana. Really looking forward to having a chat.
So we recently caught up on Newen Country in Batemans Bay on the beautiful New South Wales south coast, where you performed for mob that were coming together to commemorate 5 years since the Black Summer bushfires. And when I asked you to come down for the event, you didn't hesitate, one, because you are so generous with your time, especially when it comes to helping out our mob, but also because you have a very special connection to Newen Country. Do you mind sharing what that special connection means to you and what the trip meant to you on a personal level?
Oh, look, my late mum was really obsessed with our family tree, Luana, and so she was... There were inklings that we may have this distant matrilineal line that goes all the way down to Newen Country. So I ended up doing the show, Who Do You Think You Are? And they introduced me to this whole new part of our family line that I had no idea I had. So, you know, I woke up at a motel at Batemans Bay and the crew at Who Do You Think You Are said, we're not going to tell you who you're going to talk to or what you're going to see today, but just be in the foyer at 8 o'clock and then we're off for a big adventure. And it was one of the most beautiful family adventures I think I'd ever had. So having those distant ties down there made me realise that I have a connection. So I kept going back there even after I'd done the show. And then your opportunity to go back was even better because I got a chance to go to 2 of the cemeteries where a lot of our old mob are buried down there. And then I wrote a song in the motel the day after the show. So about Thomas Golden Brown down there, who's one of our big ancestors. And I reckon a lot of our drive comes from him, reading about his life. And his life spoke to me from the pages. So I started to write a little song about him, which I'm definitely going to carry with me for a long time.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And it was such an amazing night. And the mob just loved having the chance to meet with you and hear you sing. And one song I personally love is Windradyne, which you released last year. And it's one of my favourites because it is about our Wiradjuri warrior. But do you mind telling us how you came to write that song and what inspired it?
Yeah, Windradyne came from a really an odd place. I'd never heard of Windradyne before. I was at a wake a few years ago, and we're all in the backyard. A lot of my family was sitting around having a beer, and we were under the hose because it was so hot. And my cousin had his shirt off, and his mum was the late beautiful Mary Coe from Cowra. And I said, "What's the name tattooed on your back, Windradyne, Davo? Explain it to me, you know." And he gave me the story and told me about the book that his beautiful mum had written. And so I went on a big dive into a rabbit hole about the great Windradyne, Luana, and hence the reason the song came together in about 15 minutes, because I'd watched the First Australians as well, and they had some accounts from some of the local families around Bathurst about, you know, descendants that had stories passed down as well, and non-Indigenous farmers' families that had dealings with Windradyne. And he became one of these people I thought, I need to make sure more people in this country know his name. And then the other night we won a golden guitar for it in Tamworth.
I know, and that was one of my next questions, because Windradyne went on to win Heritage Song of the Year at the Golden Guitar Awards in Tamworth, and you also picked up four other awards as well. You absolutely cleaned up. What was it like to be recognised in such a big way for your music at the Golden Guitar Awards?
Look, you know, I've been around for a long time playing country music, and it's always been my family outside of my family from Grafton and my family up here in Brizzy. It's been my music family, and I've got big history with the town. When my cousins and I first got out there in 1981, we were only pretty young, but we found our tribe out there, our music tribe. You know, we found other people that were just as mad on country music as us, and we thought we were the only ones, Luana, you know, until we got to Tamworth. And then, you know, to get that happen the other night, winning 5 out of 6 nominations, I've got to be honest, the speeches became a little bit more awkward towards the fifth one. I felt a little bit, you know, just too over the top. You know, this acknowledgement is wonderful, but I feel very shy about public speaking. I don't like public speaking much. I love singing, but I don't like public speaking. And so, yeah, it was a huge honour. And for Windradyne to get it, and for me to thank my son Clay, who sang on that song for me as well here in my studio where I'm yarning to you now, I'm hugely proud. And I know that everyone involved in my life and my career over the many, many years, people that are, if they're still around, they have sent messages of encouragement saying, we were there from the start, and we just know that it means a lot to you still to win a golden guitar.
And your beautiful wife was there with you on the night as well. It must be so special for her to see you being celebrated and, you know, to be there to witness it as well. How does her support play into your journey as an artist?
Well, you know, she was there from the very start, I suppose. We were sitting up in the bleachers right at the back, Luana, where, you know, you could hardly see who was on stage. You almost needed binoculars. That's how far back we were sitting there at the awards one year. And Uncle Jimmy Little got this beautiful award for this song, and I was so thrilled for him when his name was read out. And I said to Laurel, I said, "What would it be like down there getting a golden guitar?" And she said, "No, you'll be there one day, you know, just be patient." And I think sometimes you need people in your life that have a little bit more belief in you than you have yourself. I was always a little bit sort of shy and didn't really, you know, have much confidence and stuff. And I think Laurel helped bring a little bit of that out, you know, and I think that's why I'm probably very lucky that she's still in my life and that we've had a chance to do the whole journey together.
And don't you mob worry, we get to hear more from Troy right after this short break. If you've just been tuning in or just joining us, then let me catch you up. We've just heard from Troy Cassadaly as he tells us what he's been going on in the country music scene. And if you've missed the first half, then don't worry, you can still catch up with all the latest by heading on over to NITV Radio on the web. Now, let's get back to hearing what Troy and Luana yarned about.
Music. At the Tamworth Country Music Festival, your documentary, A Journey Between the Fires, was screened. Can you tell us about the documentary and how important it was for you to share that journey?
Look, we didn't expect to even make a documentary, but a beautiful girl called Belinda Miller.
I love Belinda. She's the best.
She's like a little sister to me. Yeah. And I've probably known her since she was maybe 20 or when she first moved to Brisbane. And her and Michael Bryars, who were out there at my mum's property, they never asked me once, as people that were walking around capturing this, to repeat myself once, Luana. And there was no script, but they also just let everything unfold naturally. And having them around was really important, but they captured all this stuff. And then they sent me an edit to watch over the holidays. And I've got to say, I mean, you know, it's an emotional dive, this record. And at the time, you know, my wife and I had some serious hassles in our life as well after I lost my mum. I think I went into a bit of a shell and pushed a lot of people away. And Belinda was able to capture the journey of getting to the house. And first up, it was like getting the house ready to record. And then, you know, I think the having a chance to screen it, I thankfully had my mum's younger sister sitting next to me, because there were some tears there. And it was an amazing experience to watch back. I won't be getting any calls from Russell Crowe anytime soon about my acting ability. I can guarantee you that. But all I can say is to share this with people if they care to go and watch one person's journey through sorry business and grief. It was something that I never thought I'd ever do, but I'm really, really proud of this little documentary that's going to be out soon.
Yeah, and I was going to say it's screened up in Tamworth, but when will it be available to like other people to watch it?
Well, Screen Australia have asked if they can put a little list of some regional places together to actually show it. So we're going to make sure that we'll let everyone know through Facebook and Instagram and everything as well, just to know where it might be going to get an airing. But obvious places will be Grafton, because yeah. It was recorded just outside of town.
Yeah.
But you know, honestly, normally they're trying to, when they're doing edits, the fellow that helped with the editing and the audio said, normally we're trying to get rid of birds. He said, but the birds on your mother's place were speaking to me while I was listening to the documentary. And he said, I ended up turning them all up, the black cockatoos and all the little, the birds. They all feature on the record too, Luana. So I had no choice.
Yeah. Well, it sounds beautiful and I can't wait to watch it. And, you know, would have been very special for you. And also to work with Belinda, who's just such a beautiful person, to, you know, have her there as well along that journey. And you also recently performed on Survival Day at Yarban in Sydney. And I couldn't actually make it down, but I heard that there were record crowds this year at the event. What does it mean to you to perform at Yarban, especially on a day like Survival Day?
Well, Survival Day is an important day to a lot of people for different reasons. And I've always made sure that I always feel in my heart that my grandparents never really, you know, celebrated Australia Day. So Survival Day has been an important part of my journey too, going down to play. I used to go and play when there were certain things held at La Perouse, and moved it into a bigger venue where it is now. And I've played maybe four or five of them over the years. And it's an important day. When you're talking survival, you are talking about a very resilient mob of people. And it felt really wonderful to come down from the high of Tamworth and then hit the ground running on City Road, walk in and play a show there. And we had a bunch of kids come in from the Jarjum school to come and sing with me as well. And that was one of the highlights of my day, them singing my little lullaby that I wrote for the ABC called Ningina, which means be quiet in our language. And so it was an important day. And yeah, one day we'll find a day, I think, that suits everybody. But right now it's not for everyone. But a survival day is an important one for me. And it's an important one, I think, for everyone in my family.
And you've got a busy year ahead. I mean, you've had a busy year so far and we're only just the end of January.
Yeah.
But you've got a busy year ahead with performances lined up for Treaty Day Out, the St Kilda Festival, and more festivals coming up as well throughout the year. What do you love the most about getting out on the road and performing for your audiences?
Well, it's a double-edged sword for me. I love festivals, but I also love to be able to see communities come together. So part of the deal, Luana, if people book me for a festival, they normally don't understand, but they book me for 2 days. I normally come in the day before and we do some stuff at their local school. And I think it's important for us as artists to leave a little bit of something, a little bit more than just some music. I think he can leave something a little bit more. So I bring the band in. We play for the kids. We encourage them to pursue music as a career sometimes, because some of these kids are really, really talented and they just need a little bit more encouragement. But we will be showing up at their schools. That will be just as big a highlight as playing these towns. And the towns are many and varied. We're playing Hay. We're going right out to Dolby and all over the place. So there's going to be a lot of festivals. We're up at the Gympie Muster. But, yeah, the highlights will be getting in that extra day early and trying to catch these kids into enjoying music, not only as something they like, but something they may carry with them into their life as a living.
And finally, what else is in store for you this year? I know you just touched on a lot of the gigs that you've got coming up, but can fans expect any new music or any other projects coming up this year for you?
Yeah, look, this is going to be, because it's a year where I'll just get a chance to collect my thoughts. I've already started to write. And like I say, the Thomas Golden Brown song I wrote at Batemans Bay the other day is something that it was one of the first songs I've probably written in a year. But they're the sort of things that kickstart your heart into making some more music and just starting to put them aside and gather them up. And gathering up ideas is part and parcel of it. So I don't think I'll be releasing anything this year. Only the little documentary will be out and about. And I hope people can go along and have a look at it and just understand my journey through grief. But yeah, that's going to be an interesting year. And there's a lot of people to catch up with. Got a lot of old friends, and I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much, Troy, for coming on NITV Radio and having a yarn to me. And it was also just amazing to catch up with you at the start of the year in Batemans Bay. It was definitely just a beautiful way to all come together. And, you know, I thank you so much for being so generous with your time. Whenever I ask, you know, to have a yarn with you or for you to come and perform somewhere, you're always, you know, right there. So thank you so much, and I appreciate you coming on today.
No worries at all. And thank you. You take it easy this year. Make sure you, pace yourself. I think everyone has to do the same, and I'll be doing exactly the same. But gather those elders around you, Luana. We don't have them forever. And every time I get with mine, I always make sure I get all the information I can out of them and yarn. And I'm still hungry to learn, I think, which is wonderful. So it's going to be a great year.
Yeah, thank you so much, and great note to end on as well.
Take care.
And that's bringing today's show to an end. And to take you out today, we of course have to play some Troy Cassadaley or Who Are We? And we also have a song from his daughter, Jem Cassadaley, who is an indie pop singer and of course Troy's daughter. Talk about a power family. And don't forget you can catch up with our content or listen anywhere at any time by heading on over to the SBS Audio app or by heading online to search sbs.com/NITV Radio to get the latest. I hope you all out there are having a deadly weekend, and thanks for listening in this hour on The Wireless. In the wise words of Uncle Richard Franklin, much love and be deadly, you mob.
In the last big flood, doing my time on a drill rig way down in that North Coast mud. On the southern side, a cable snapped and we watched a man fall in. I tell you, that's one bell you can't unring. Well, I got some work out of sawmill, slaving in the sun all day. No amount of paycheck money's gonna chase these blues away. I got two kids and a wife at home, living hand to mouth, breaking my back, watching it all go south, watching it all go south, staring at her open door. I think about walking away like so many times before. My pride says take it out. I sip on my last beer year after year, watching it all go south.
watching it all go down. So I roll with it, deal with it, fight and learn to live with a world that keeps fucking with my mind. I saddled up and rode with it, even had a drink with it. These days you find me sitting back, watching it all go south.
A kingdom of let downs, you'd be royalty. Call me the queen of paranoia. Tell me I'm crazy.
Sunny Tiwi Island. In the studio, we have B2M.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.